Hi, Uggos.
Oh my gosh. What's up, cutie pies?
Hope you're having a gorgeous day, you little fun-loving little gal.
We were before our mics shout out on this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
We were having an absolutely gorgeous day.
Fucked by technology yet again.
So this one is going to sound a little different than usual. It'll sound sort of like you're on the phone with us. Like we're, you know, speakerphone folding laundry together.
Exactly. Bad Zoom call. But we're still connecting.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's what matters, I think. It's the quality over the quality.
Yeah, because the quality is not there.
Yeah. But the quality
is there.
The quality time.
Of the content, not the audio. Mm-hmm. So we just wanted to give you a little heads up. But otherwise, we freaking loved this hour. So we had to let you have it full force.
And thank you in advance for your grace.
Love you.
Love you.
Wait, did you hear?
No.
We're diving into the juiciest celebrity profiles of all time.
I'm Beatrice Hazelhurst.
And I'm Ivana Ryder.
This is Uncover Girl.
Here we are. Thank God. Another day, another life, another chapter of Uncover Girl.
I needed this one today. I was craving it. I woke up and I said, oh my God, thank the heavens.
I need a fix.
I need my weekly fix.
Sometimes we really come in lagging, but today it feels like we're hot. We're hot under the collar.
Yeah, and we're sort of connected. We're connected. It's one beating heart between the two of us.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is, especially today?
I don't know. I mean, you and I do feel like get into grooves sometimes where it's like words don't need to be spoken. You understand what I'm saying and I understand what you're saying. And then occasionally it's either when we're tired or hungry, those words go unspoken and we can't hear the other no matter how loud we are.
No. You and I remind me a lot of this kind of new trend or law that women don't hug if they're close friends.
Oh my God.
And I feel like that's very us.
Yeah, that's so true.
We've been going through a phase of hugging recently and it kind of feels weird. It's felt wrong.
Yeah, totally. That's so true.
Instead of just like a hey. Like a head tilt.
Yeah. A wave. Coming in waving.
Do you find that to be true though?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's weird.
The closer I am, the less there is in terms of hugging.
No.
And an acquaintance? I am grabbing them, twirling them around a room.
Oh, we're absolutely making out.
Yeah. Mackin.
Twirling around the room.
That's so true.
I know. It's almost like your relationship doesn't need that affirmation of body to body.
Hi. Well, it's also that instead of it feeling like every hangout has like a beginning and an ending, it's just like one continuous thing and like here we are again. Where there isn't that same feeling of like chapters or like, oh my God, so good to see you again.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it needs to be marked by the hello or the goodbye hug.
That's so true.
It's just like we pick up where we left off, really.
There's no kind of coddling that needs to happen.
No.
I also feel like we're very honest.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important. I think that is where longevity is based.
Totally. The things that go unsaid are what keeps a relationship in the closer acquaintance field.
Yeah. Sometimes if like a friend is in a bad relationship, they become demoted to acquaintance because there becomes this huge unspoken thing that can't be said.
Yeah, it's a chasm.
Yeah.
In between.
Where it's like, oh, and now I can't really talk to you because there's this whole thing.
Yeah, a looming kind of figure.
Yeah.
An elephant in the room.
And we're both lying about it the whole time.
Yeah. Have you experienced that recently? Not to out you.
No, I have experienced that in the past.
Yeah.
Where just like there are issues happening with a friend or something is going on with a friend where it is
like apparent something is very wrong.
Apparent something is very wrong. But then there's like never the point in which like it can be spoken about or honestly assessed or like even just like discussed in general. Like I feel like some people have like off topics where it's like, I don't talk about this.
No, it's so true. Do you know what? I was just having this conversation because I recently reconnected with a friend who intentionally, unintentionally put distance between us, and I just, like, we were kind of too on top of each other, and we needed a break, and there was a lot going on with her, and I was talking about it with another friend, Alice, and being like, oh, she came back into my life, and Alice was like, you know, we took a break, but I was like, well, but, like, something happened, we were forced apart, and she was like, yeah, but you're a terrible boyfriend, and I was like, yes, I remember, you didn't have to say it.
Oh, yeah, we're not immune to this, too, we may be this person to someone.
Right, where they're like, I just cannot
do with it. Her. Yeah, I cannot do it with her right now.
She's the worst. Oh, man, that pains me.
Yeah.
Do you know my worst fear? Can I tell you?
Yeah, yeah,
say it. It's someone perceiving me as if I am climbing or clout chasing. Oh, well, I reached out to a friend whose girlfriend just landed, like, a massive, massive role. I said, congratulations, I just saw the news, like, you must be so proud. As soon as I sent the text, I was like, this just looks like I'm fucking coming out of the woodwork and fishing. Like, haven't talked to this guy in a few months. Like, ran into him recently, was like, made loose plans to catch up. But it looks like I just am out of the woods caring again because his girlfriend just got cast in a Disney movie.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Oh, I hope he doesn't perceive it like that. If you're listening, that's not how she meant
it. If you're listening, please, please. It just was a reminder that I needed to see you again. I love you for you.
No, that's a terrifying idea.
It's also very Los Angeles because it's so transactional out here. And when anyone who is in, like, one of these industries or close to them, it's, like, really hard to gauge what they could want from you and vice versa. Like, or if it's just, like, they love you as a person. And me kind of often veering on the more cynical side, I'm always like, is this all a ploy to get press at the end of the day? Like, whatever it may be there, I don't know what I can offer, like, outside of that. Maybe there is more that I have on the table. Do you think like that?
No, I do sometimes, but sometimes also it's been revealed to me. Famously, when I went out with a girl who I thought we were going out as friends, and I realized that she definitely had me there so I could take Instagram photos of her, as, like, many as possible.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, I understand my role here.
You know how you know that is happening? When you show up to, like, a casual coffee in, like, athleisure and they have a full look. It's coming. The request the of shoot. My photographer avails is about to...
It's on its way. It's on its
Send
way.
Send avails.
I know. do you have your inspiration? Because I have mine.
I do, actually.
Oh, my God.
I do. I have run into a reoccurring creature out in these streets. And it has been hurting my spirit, hurting my soul. The middle-aged white gay man. Are you very familiar?
I would say so, yes.
Maybe mid-40s through to mid-50s is the age range. And they've been through a lot. I will never discount that. However, they do feel particularly justice-oriented. And sometimes people become collateral if they don't align. In the past week, I have been yelled at / scolded twice.
Oh,
Ivana, I can't remember the last time I was yelled at, apart from Chris being like, you hit the curb! I can't think, and it's happened to me twice in the past week. Can I set the scene?
Yeah, of course.
I signed up for a boot camp class.
Berries.
Okay, no. I didn't know really what Barry's was. I knew there was, like, some running and some weights. This was a class at Hymet, my new very fancy gym.
Yeah.
And I guess it's Barry's inspired. So you're in a room, you feel like you're about to die.
Yeah.
The lights are, like, red and then flashing green. Suddenly you're in Berghain. Oh, we're back in the soothing blue. And we were kind of in our third circuit of weights to sprints. Incline sprints. This is the first day of the rest of your life, and you're going up to three, and in 3, 2, 1, go! It's like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
absolutely yeah. fucking miserable.
Body in fight or flight.
Body in full fight or flight, which I acknowledge and really use as a caveat.
Yeah.
However, this room is pitch black. It's my first time doing any class like this. And all the, like, dumbbells are stored inside of benches, and I couldn't see really what weight was which and what goes where. So I'm told that I'm, like, bicep curling to shoulder pressing to doing squats, and I'm mixing up the weight because I have different weights for all of those things.
Oh my
I cannot
God.
Curl my squat weight and vice versa. Right. we're into our third circuit. I'm like frantically restacking the weights, like putting them back in their little holders so I can get back on the treadmill and start running, which I'm just about to hit go on the treadmill. And this man comes up to me and goes, "Where are the tents?" And I was like, I don't know. I jump off the treadmill. I look and I'm like, "I'm so sorry. I like was kind of frantic trying to build." And he was like, "Just put everything where you find them."
Oh, and I was like, God.
Okay. And he was like, "Also, you're using two different benches. Stick to the one." And this is in front of a whole class, right? Like everyone knows, like we're not two friends, two gal pals who know each other and are just quickly catching up between circuit two and three.
Yeah. Yeah.
A stranger is like chewing me out in a red flashing vaginal tunnel of a room.
Yeah.
And I'm like holding back tears. I am like trying to sprint through, and there's nothing that really sets you back from just all out cardio than feeling bad about yourself. Like I'm not someone who's ever stimulated or motivated by being like, "You're a fat piece of shit." I'm stimulated, yeah, motivated by like, "You're doing such a great job.
Gorgeous girl.
I've never seen anyone run faster. Usain Bolt, is that you on that treadmill?" Yeah. Like that's what's keeping me going, is like being a straight A student and impressing the instructor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I then get off the treadmill and I go up to this man and I go, "I'm so sorry. It's my first time in this room. It's my first time taking this class. I didn't know where everything went." And he goes, "Sorry if I was rude. It was just really frustrating." And I was like, "Totally. Well, have a great day."
Oh.
I left. I left with my tail between my legs.
Of course.
I called up Chris and was like, "I just got scolded." And that's not all.
Oh, no.
I was playing tennis with Chris. This is a very active
episode. Yeah, I know.
But it's really, really,
I love it. I also love tennis and we should play.
It was, Ivana, 5:59. Our court time expired at 6. We're just like grabbing our balls and putting them, you know, in their little bucket. Very clearly, we've stopped playing.
Yeah.
No one is on the court. Again, middle-aged white gay man comes over and goes, "Time's up."
Oh my God.
It is. By the time we like were recounting the story to each other, we looked at the clock. We're already halfway to the car. Looked at the clock. It was 6:01. It was 6:01 when we were reflecting on this story. It's not like it was 6:05.
No.
It was before our time was even up and he's telling us time's up.
Oh my God. I hate being scolded. It sticks with me for days after. Are you able to shake it off?
No, I was pretty cut all day after yelling episode.
Of course. Because it feels like you're in trouble, which is the root, I've realized, 3 years of therapy, of absolutely all my anxiety.
Yeah.
It's the refrain of, like, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing that I'm in trouble, becoming aware that I'm in trouble, someone getting me in trouble.
Or someone, like, disappointed in you, like, not showing up in the way that you should have.
Yes.
Yes. That, it haunts me too.
It's the scariest thing I can think of.
There's a certain type of person I found that yells at you or feels, like, entitled to yell at you. I'm going to say it. A lot of gay men, the respect for women is just, like, not really there. Especially in the older gents.
Mm-hmm.
There's something missing there in terms of, like, I don't need you for anything. So can you just kind of fuck off out of my line of vision?
No, I have heard the clash of new gen and old gen. And, like, we forget sometimes that people are a product of their environment. Regardless of their identity or politics or, like, where they lie, some things creep in. They seep in. And they pollute.
But I feel like it always crops up in moments like that where you have, like, the law on your side, right? Like,
yeah.
The law is saying, put the dumbbells back in the right place. The law is saying, like, you have this court till 6 and then it's my turn. Like, when you have the power of the law on your side, you can really, like, come for the throat of anyone around you. And that's what it seemed to be. Because I'm just, like, can't ever see myself going up to the people before me and being like, "Your time's up." Wouldn't you just be like, are you guys all wrapped up? Are you guys finishing? It's okay if we start setting up. It takes nothing to say that.
I know.
The fucking Barry's Club, I'm like, okay, we're absolutely fighting for our lives here. Like,
yeah.
I understand it's a high stress environment. Pulling through the absolute roof. But like, do you need to double down when I apologize after class?
Yeah, it's the doubling down.
It's the doubling down.
No, because the fault still gets lobbed back to you, right, like a tennis volley. It's in your court again. I got in trouble recently.
No.
And I'd actually like for you to tell me who if I was in the wrong here. Okay.
This is
I'm willing to admit if I was in the wrong.
Okay.
I'm going to brunch. Mm-hmm. I have my little mini Telfar bag. I'm walking with it slung over my little elbow crease.
Okay.
I'm weaving through a bunch of tables. It's very busy, very full.
Oh.
A waiter kind of leans into me, and then I move out of his way so he can get by. One of the loops of my Telfar bag loops around the arm of a stroller where a baby sits napping.
Okay.
I continue to walk until I feel resistance, and I immediately stop and realize my error. The stroller, I have...
An accident.
I realize, and I go, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. I see the baby is still napping. The stroller was not, like, you know, moved in any, like, huge way, but, like, I did briefly have tension with the stroller. Like, I touched the stroller. The stroller may have moved.
Okay.
The mom panics, hands over the stroller, and I go, I'm so sorry. I unloop my bag, and I go, is everything okay? Like, I'm so, so, so sorry about that.
Right, you're not trying to steal this baby.
No, and she goes, it's fine. It's just my baby. And I, of course, first instinct, vomit, cry, leave, excuse myself, arrest myself, citizen's arrest on oneself, wait outside by the curb for the cops to pick me up.
911, I've done something terrible.
Yeah. I go, I'm so, so sorry again. I go to have breakfast. I'm shaken the entire time. Yeah. I look over at her. She shakes her head at me.
No.
Yes.
That's when I'm pulling the fingers.
No.
That is when I am pulling out
You flip the mother off.
Yeah, yeah. I'm teaching the baby its first cuss words.
Yeah.
At this point.
The baby is still napping. Had the baby woken up from a nap and started to cry, I would have completely understood. Mm-hmm. It is so hard to get a baby down. I really get it. I nannied for years. I understand, like, a mother's protection. It's everything. But at that point, I start to think, okay, do I send a round of drinks? Probably not, because she's probably nursing. Like, you know, I can't.
No.
Do I pay for their whole breakfast? It's a table of five. I'm like, what do I do to make the situation right? Because I can't have this beautiful mother hate me as much as she hates me now. Hates me in my little dumb Telfar bag.
No. No, no, it's not about you. It's not about you.
Steven told me, you do not have to do anything about this. This is fine. Like, you are fine.
It's crazy that we've both run 12 boyfriends with this stuff.
Of, like, what needs to happen here?
Yeah, or, like, am I okay?
Am I okay?
That is unbelievable.
I felt sick. I struggled through the whole breath.
The shaking of the head?
Where it's, like,
it's
yeah.
so unnecessary. What do you mean? What is she talking about? I can't even think of a circumstance where saying it's just my baby, other than someone, like, almost running you over.
Yes.
Is
yes.
valid. Yeah. The baby was not in harm's way in any shape or form.
I also just think, and this is the thing, like, if I were to become a mother, jury's out on all that, but if I were, yeah. I definitely feel like I have the European model of parenting where it's like, the baby goes where you go. And if the baby faces consequences for that,
yeah,
that's all the thing. It's like, if someone's gonna smoke outside, there's nothing I can do about that. I don't have that sense of, like, stop, like, don't you see I have a baby here? It's like, my baby's out on the streets.
Yeah.
And everyone is allowed to do whatever they want on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And the baby will live.
The baby's gonna adapt sometime.
Yeah.
It's gonna breathe in secondhand smoke at some point.
At some point. You can't.
If the microplastics aren't killing the baby.
No, there was
something else.
The Jake Gyllenhaal Bubble Boy movie. It's not, we saw that it's not the way. You can't just put a little baby in a bubble forever.
Exactly.
And protect them from all germs, people, and, you know, Telfar purse straps. You can't.
Totally.
But, you know, saying this story now out loud, I still feel sick.
Yeah. It's at times like these, I miss the days of New York where we were just out here wiling. Like, I was screaming at people on the street. If a guy, like, deigned to catcall me, like, pull up in a car, I was like, don't fucking, how fucking dare you?
Yeah.
Don't look at me like that. Like, acrylic nails flip-flopping around.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, there's some scary situations from doing that, I won't lie. And also, your stress is always at a 10. Like, you're never at a resting rate. how soft we've gotten.
I know.
I think is good for you overall. But it's also at times like these, you've just got to be like, get fucked. Sorry.
Yeah, get fucked.
Are you absolutely... Do you think I tried to have this run-in with your stroller on purpose?
Yeah.
What do you think I was trying to achieve? I
targeted your baby at Manuela. I came for your child.
Look, you get to be here for brunch. It's a beautiful moment. Like, you are so lucky to be here. We're both so lucky to be in this $380 a month gym.
Yeah.
At a makeshift Barry's Bootcamp class. Like, maybe let's just take a beat.
Yeah. I didn't shuffle the weights around for fun to fuck with you.
No.
Good luck finding the tens, fucker.
I really fucked your workout now, didn't I? You're going to be lifting too heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Societal... What am I trying to say?
Societal collapse is upon us.
The nuances of human interaction... And politeness and the varying levels of that is so interesting. Like, it just never ceases to amaze me what a shared experience we all have on the daily. Like, tipping well, or what constitutes being a little bit rude or being too straightforward, and what is just polite.
What friends to make time for, what friends to not make time for.
That's the hardest one for me.
Yeah. Well, because there are a limited... amount of hours in the day. And I will actually say that this is a perfect segue into our profile today. Because this is a girl who somehow, despite being the busiest woman in America, always makes time for a friend. In a way that I really feel in awe of and, like, you know, is a part of her reputation, if you will.
Wow.
But it really comes through in this profile. I am, of course, talking about Ms. Taylor Swift.
And this is a departure for us because this is the first profile we have done which features two different talent.
Yeah. It is a joint best friends profile.
Okay. How did this get across the line is what I want to ask you, right?
I think that it cannot be understated the chokehold these two had on the culture in 2015. They were seen everywhere.
Who pitched it?
Honestly, it could have been them. A joint
Vogue cover?
It could have been them. They could have been like, we'll only do this if it's both.
Wow.
I'm not going on the trip unless I can bring my best friend.
Yeah.
I say to my parents, stomping my foot.
I mean, we've done that in our adulthood.
Yeah, that's so true.
I will not come unless Ivana is also.
Yeah, that's true. We've done that a couple times now.
On elaborate trips to Switzerland. I won't
go unless my BFF can come.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's what they said. And... we are talking about, it's a Vogue profile, 2015. The headline reads, On the Road with Best Friends Taylor Swift and Karlie Kloss. So I have a little background that I'm not going to sell myself short. I put my little PI hat on for this. And I went through their entire history as friends to find out how this began and how it ended.
I thought you might.
Because there's nothing that... intrigues me more than a friendship breakup. As we've discussed, I feel like in the past, more devastating than any romantic breakup. I think, like, every woman lives in fear of when the next one will pop up. Like,
yeah.
They are just... the intimacy that we have with our female friends is... I mean, just one of the most powerful forces on the planet.
Can I just quick side segue here?
Yeah.
Just quickly to the side. What's it called? Sidebar.
Sidebar.
God, that took me a long time to get to. I wrote a story recently. It's a first person, like, experiential piece. And I talked about showing my boobs to a female colleague / friend. And I got a note that said, this reads a little creepy, right? And I thought,
excuse me.
No.
No.
Like, have you never had an insecurity and you're just like, hey, will you just look really quick? I just feel like I need to hear from someone that isn't my inner monologue to tell me, like, what is going on here. I couldn't believe that was, like, the feedback. Like, hey, like, devil's advocate, is it a little bit weird that you're just, like, showing someone your tits? And I'm like, no. That is the most female friendship-coded thing ever.
Have you never been to a sleepover?
Right?
Also, like, changing with a friend... it's just, like, normal, I feel like.
Changing with a friend, but also just being like, dude, like...
take a look.
Take a look really quick.
Yeah.
I'm, like, curious. New Zealand specifically doesn't have locker room culture, so we never really saw people's bodies.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, so no one was really seeing my body apart from, like, guys.
Wow.
And I just wanted, like, a woman to be like, "You, it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, you're fine.
So, but the female friendship component of it all, I mean, it is so, so deeply intimate.
Yeah, it is. It really, really is. So this profile is 2015. We're in the height of, like, Lena Dunham girls era. The woman is at the tip of everyone's tongue. Mm-hmm. Equal pay in Hollywood is happening. The gold blue dress online phenomenon is happening. But really through my research, I realized that every single outing these two had together, wearing their little bowler hats and booty heels,
mm-hmm.
was photographed, documented where they are in New York City. It's like Taylor Swift's New York era. It's the two of them best friends in the world, both two gorgeous, tall blondes taking the town together and having the time of their lives.
And we'll get into this, obviously, but I'm really curious about Taylor's relationship with the paparazzi, because no one, I feel like, gets pepped with as many people, men, women, you name it, than Taylor. They're in Central Park. They're coming into a restaurant. They're leaving a restaurant, traipsing around town. Yeah. It's really wild.
It is. It is.
And that is really the source of, I think, the public's perception of her, because they're like, okay, like, you don't want to be branded as serial dater, but why are you always pepped with someone new?
That's so true. It's like she's trying to date, like, a normal girl, but she's one of the most famous people in the world.
That? But I also just don't know how everyone knows where she is at all times.
Yeah.
But I think if you really want to dodge the paparazzi, you kind of can.
Mm-hmm.
Even back in 2015. I mean, there's always going to be some waiter who calls the paps. There's always going to be, like,
mm-hmm.
someone on the inside. But does it not feel, like, a little bit weird that there was, like, at Central Park, there's photographers. Like, I don't know. No,
it's definitely a theory.
In that clear shots.
Yes.
That's the difference.
Or Zendaya and Tom Holland in the car.
Exactly.
Where it's like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Like, they were in the middle of traffic, someone managed to snap a photo.
And I know that paparazzo, and he told me that's what happened. He was like, I was stopped at a red light, and across the street, I look through the window and I see these two.
Yeah.
And that is how I broke the story. That's the only way that, like, I got those photos.
Yeah, of course.
So it's like, why is it always feeding the birds with Harry Styles in a beautiful, like, twee outfit?
We'll put our little allegedly hats on.
Yes.
At various points through this.
Okay.
Because I'd like to preface by also saying, I also do not think that every close female friendship has gay undertones. I think that you can have great intimacy with a friend and have nothing romantic happening at all.
Totally. In fact, some would say that's the default.
Yeah.
For straight women.
Though there have been alleged allegations that Taylor and Carly were more than just friends. Because of the nature of their fallout, because of the songs that followed, because of the hints and the Easter eggs and the whatever, and people suspect.
And how close they were to nothingness.
Yeah. And so, because of that, I think it felt important to me, before we dive into this profile, to go over the timeline of events.
Okay.
As they happened.
Thank you.
So, the Kaylor friendship begins with Swift's 2012 Vogue cover, where she says, basically, like, oh, I love Carly Kloss. I want to bake cookies with her. They hadn't met yet. Carly tweets at Taylor, love the magazine cover, your kitchen or mine, smiley face.
That is so flirty.
I know. I know.
Okay. I don't know if I would say that. Would you say that?
I wouldn't say that.
Your kitchen or mine?
No.
Smiley face?
Wild. But at this point, they hadn't met. And then when they really did meet was at the Victoria's Secrets fashion show, which is returning this year after a long hiatus. So basically what happened...
You can see on my chair over there, two Victoria's Secret push-up bikinis.
Oh my God.
Bombshell bikinis. They are padded to the goddamn gods.
Are they good? Do you like them?
That is so crazy to put on.
Oh my God, I need some immediately.
That hilarious.
Yeah.
I love the concept of, like, a full, like, a bra bikini.
Yeah.
But it's like,
yeah.
But the bottoms are a goddamn thong. I didn't see.
And it's like, I'm not always prepared to do that in a bathing suit.
I've never once done that in a bathing suit.
Yeah.
Chris was like, great for Europe. I was like, thanks for putting it in context.
Victoria's Secret show. But speaking of thongs. So okay. Taylor's performing and Carly is walking. She's one of the, like, you know, one of their iconic angels. Looks amazing. They sort of, like, share a look or whatever, and it's clear they're friends afterwards. They go on an impromptu road trip to Big Sur, and it's all over Instagram, like, mm-hmm. writing each other's names in the sand, little flowers tucked behind the ears in front of an elephant seal, posting photos, like, another epic stop.
The Instagram documentation, the names in the sand.
Yeah.
Those really build a case.
Yeah. We're filing the information away.
I can't see a world in which we write our names in the sand.
I'm tracing Beatrice.
Yeah, you're writing Beatrice. Across the shoreline.
Hearts, Ivana. Across the shoreline. I mean, maybe...
I haven't even done that in a romantic position.
No, no. It's fabulous. It's fabulous. And it does also... That was very Instagram of this era.
Have you done anything like that? Like the love lock bridges? Like, have you ever, like, put, you know, carved your name into a tree?
No. One time when we were walking home from work, we saw some wet concrete in Chicago and we put S plus I. And we forgot what street corner it was. But that's the closest we've come.
I mean, that just feels like a We Were Here moment.
Yeah.
Don't forget.
Don't forget. We ran these streets at one point.
I goes, you know, we're always talking about clout. Who has it and who doesn't? And that is why I've got to introduce you to Noumi's Clout Control Anti-Frizz Spray. This product is a literal revelation. It forms a protective coat over each individual strand of hair. And it also has a built-in UV filter. All summer long, while you're frolicking, swimming, whatever, your hair is protected from sun damage. It's got wheat protein. It's got vitamin E, keeping your hair healthy, shiny, and most importantly, long, if that's your goal. And you only need to use it like every 3 to 4 washes. It's really long-lasting, and it's going to leave everyone asking, how on earth does her hair look like that? Ivana and I both have like long, thick, frizz-prone hair. And I cannot recommend a brand or a product enough. I quite literally use Noumi's Flat Iron every single day. As you know, I can't go a day without my hair being sleek and smooth. And Noumi's Clout Control helps with that immensely. Head to NoumiHair.com. That's NoumiHair.com. And take 15% off at checkout with the code UNCOVER. That's NoumiHair.com. 15% off with the code UNCOVER. We are so excited for you to try this. No frizz, no flyaways. Get that clout control going.
And I mean, speaking of running the streets, we have an unending roll of paparazzi photos of them. They're getting ready for the Met together. It's like them like being like cutie girls where it's like getting our makeup done together pre-Met, which also feels crazy. I don't think people are doing that.
Getting ready for the Met together?
No.
No,
it is
no,
a solo, like, you've got your team in a hotel room separate from everyone else. So they're getting ready for everything together. They're sitting courtside at Knicks games together. They are strolling the streets. They're taking road trips. In Taylor Swift's Rolling Stone cover story, she gives the reporter a tour of her house. And when she gets to the guest room, she's like, this is the guest room where Carly usually stays. But as with these sort of intense, passionate friendships.
Mm-hmm. They burn too bright.
2018.
3 years only?
Yes.
Okay.
Klaus has her wedding to Joshua Kushner, the Kushner family, LOL.
Mm-hmm.
And...
You want to wear this to dinner with the Kushners? One of the most iconic lines in reality TV.
And Swift did not attend either of those weddings.
That is fucking weird.
80-person wedding, Swift not in attendance.
That's really odd.
The official line was that it conflicted with the Reputation tour in Australia. And then when Klaus had a second ceremony in 2019, Swift also didn't attend that one because she was, quote, unable to attend due to prior commitments.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think she was invited and she turned down the invite, or do you think...
She was invited to both.
Okay.
Klaus representative said. She was invited to both.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't want to see your ex get married, right?
No, that's what it's getting. Of course not. Then, silence. For years, people are speculating, like, are they close? Are they not close? They do a few little, like, cheeky nods where it's like, Jennifer Lawrence in an interview at one point said, was like, I would die to know what's happening between Taylor and Carly.
What?
Yes. And Carly, like, clapped back in a, I think in her Vogue 73 questions, and was like, I know Jennifer Lawrence is wondering, but me and Taylor are still good friends. And they have, like, a random birthday post, but it's just, like, a happy birthday at Taylor Swift. And then silence. Silence. The 2020s brings total silence. Until.
Okay.
The Eras Tour. Carly Kloss attends in, not the nosebleeds, but the 500s, let's say.
Yeah.
Not in a VIP tent, not with Taylor's posse. She just attends the Eras Tour.
She bought a ticket. She waited in Ticketmaster. She narrowly avoided the crash.
Yeah.
And she bought maybe a $400 ticket.
Yeah.
To see her friend perform.
Her friend.
Maybe. Her former flame, maybe.
Her former friend, former flame.
And then Taylor sends someone to go get her, right?
Yes.
That's the funniest part. Like, I think she should have left her there. Because I feel like that's more pointed.
Yeah.
To be like, what, like,
enjoy the show. Yeah.
No, I mean, in the sense of just, like, that, I think, brought attention.
Yeah.
Rather than just being like, oh, come back tomorrow in better seats.
Yeah.
I think that's what I would have done. Given her another night and being like, be in the VIP. Because it would have just been like, oh, yeah, she's so random. She just bought these tickets. I didn't even know she was there. She was always coming the other night.
Yeah.
But she wanted to see me twice and just bought a ticket. Right? Yeah. That's a better spin.
It's a better story.
Tree Pain.
Yeah.
Looking at you.
Yeah.
I'm available to hire.
I know. Freelancing for Tree Pain. So this brings us to the present day. Taylor, I mean, right now, is still on the Eras Tour, if you can believe it.
Mm-hmm.
She's been on the Eras Tour this whole time. She just played her 87th show where Travis, that's his number, his football number, and he was in the crowd cheering.
Love.
And I think that brings us to this profile.
I also find it funny that the men that they met when they, you know, went their separate ways, are very similar in a way. They're very classically handsome, quiet, beta types.
Yeah. They're also doing, like, man jobs. Like, sort of like if you asked a three-year-old what a man's job is.
No. I mean, not Travis. Joe Alwyn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They kind of it was kind of the same man copy-paste.
Yeah.
With Jared Kushner and Joe Alwyn. Do you know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean.
Like, this kind of little really soft, softies, tender... Yeah.
No, I totally see what you mean.
I don't know. I do find that to be a theme. Friends will somehow, if they come up together single and then they partner off, those men will be vaguely alike.
No, I see that. I see that as a trend in life and in pop culture.
It is... I've got another example for you.
Go.
Kim Kardashian and Kourtney Kardashian, both single, Travis Barker and Pete Davidson.
Totally.
You know?
Totally, totally, totally. Exactly that. And then some last and some don't.
Yeah. Totally. I mean, Joel didn't stand the test of time.
Bye, boy.
Bye.
Bye. Sorry about it. It is really sad to think about how, I'm sure, electric these early years were when they were becoming friends and, like, holding hands as they strutted down the Victoria's Secret catwalk.
Mm-hmm.
They were both at the top of their game, like, both beloved, both, like, considered some of the most beautiful women around, best friends, living in New York City together. It, like, it is, it gives We Were Girls together.
Yeah. And there is something when you meet your partners, it does detract from the depth of the relationship, the female friendship. Like, no matter what, you know, no matter how much you prioritize, It does strip away the gloss of, like, what could be with the two of you. There's just the same, like, capacity to love isn't there when, like, a man enters the picture, assuming this is a straight relationship.
No, and, like, also the frenzy has to die down. Like, I remember early days living in New York with my roommate, Zoe, and we were frenzied. Like, every day was an adventure.
Yeah.
Every opportunity for something. Like, sleepovers, both, like, cuddled on the couch with Thai food, like, howling into the night. And it's just, it lives only in that space.
Yeah, it lives in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So true.
And it has to come to an end, I guess.
I can't believe we haven't even gone to the profile yet. Okay. Keep going.
I can't even fathom how long it's been. I fear to look
at it. I know.
I fear to look at us, like, waxing poetic about friendship, sitting here, tears welling in our eyes, like, and they're ephemeral, but that's what makes them beautiful. Okay, so this profile is written by Jada Yuan, who now is a writer for the Washington Post style section. She is focused on culture, entertainment. She's written and covered the first ladies of the United States in a very cool way. I feel like that's like such a fabulous, interesting beat. She also published her first book last year, Unleashing Oppenheimer, Inside Christopher Nolan's Atomic Age Thriller.
Oh my god, cool.
I know. She got my dream job, a job that I applied to at 18, thinking, like, maybe, who knows? New York Times did this thing where they hired a writer to travel to 52 places, every week of the year for a full year, like, fully funded, and she was their inaugural 52 places writer.
What?
I know. And she's profiled Stevie Nicks, Samuel L. Jackson, Bill Murray, written for everywhere from Elle to Glamour to Vogue, and she killed it with this profile, honestly. The Deck reads, Taylor Swift and Karlie Kloss have forged the kinds of careers and the kind of friendship that people dream about. It opens. One of the first things Taylor Swift did after moving from Nashville to her sprawling two-story penthouse in New York's Tribeca was cover a wall of her den with framed, blown-up Polaroids of the most important people in her life. This is when me and Karlie first met. She says, pointing to a picture of her grinning and hugging model Karlie Kloss backstage at the 2013 Victoria's Secret fashion show, where Kloss walked the runway in pink underwear and giant psychedelic wings, and Swift performed with Fall Out Boy. 2013, in full effect there, my God. The caption, handwritten in Sharpie, reads, Best Friends Forever, VS 2013. And feels rather prescient, given how close the two have become over the past year or so. With a road trip to Big Sur, dreamily documented on Instagram, restaurant outing, shopping excursions, sleepovers, texting marathons, soul cycle classes, and a second joint Victoria's Secret outing late last year, where they walked side by side down the runway in black lace. They exchanged, can you believe this, grins, two friends on top of the world.
But just like us for real.
They're just like us for real. We've done this, you and I. The same
in
thing.
In black lace black lingerie, lace. Walking down a runway, hands clasped.
That'll be our first
the Uncover Girls on tour.
That's how we enter for every live show we do. Black lace, you with a full cape sprawling behind you.
Wings.
Handmade by the finest craftsmen.
But it's not just Karlie Kloss who is in Swift circle famously at this point in time. She has so many fucking friends, among them Lena Dunham, Lord, who Swift calls by her given name, Ella.
Yeah,
of course.
Lord, yeah.
There are Polaroids all over this damn apartment and odes to friendship.
Yeah, it's just like the theme is friendship and like my girls. And I mean the posse, as we've talked about from her 1989 tour, the squad, as they were dubbed, was present at every show in a way where it's sort of like, you girls have full-time jobs. Like, actually, how are you doing this?
Exactly.
Like, you know, I'm moving things around to come to your, like, little celebration of an article coming out or, like, you know, work event. Like, let's find one day a week
that
to
suits.
Try to meet up.
That suits.
That
yep.
suits. But mm-hmm. these girls are following her around the world, jet-setting at every show, sometimes coming on stage to collab. It's amazing.
I feel for those personal assistants who are having to, at the last minute, be like, okay, so can you make the Ohio show? It's going to be June 15th. You have a shoot June 16th, but if we pushed like that,
if you do a red eye, you should be able to make it on time.
Oh my God.
I know.
And those are the real heroes.
I agree. My hat's off to them. And we're catching her 2 days before her 25th birthday. Jada describes her as brimming with the confidence of a young woman who's come into her own, which I think is fabulous because I also thought that 25 was like the point in life in which I was completely going to be in my own.
Same.
Totally solved, figured out. No notes. And that's famously, 25 is so young.
I felt differently. I remember being like, the world is collapsing. I'm at my absolute worst at 25. I had a friend break up the week before.
Of course.
I was blocked.
Of course. No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That hurt. I had $9. I had no money.
Yeah.
I
was that was when I hemmed my dress for my birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Because I couldn't get a new dress. So I was like, what do we got here to work with?
Yeah.
And made a long dress short. I had an incredible birthday, I remember. And it was very New York City. All the friends, like, hired out. I booked a big table at a little restaurant. But me being like, I had nothing. And then when I got Carbone.
They hired Tao. We rented Tao out overnight.
Limos, champagne, yeah. You know, just low-key.
Yeah.
But no, I remember being like, this feels apocalyptic. Like, I don't know how I'm going to survive this. I was in credit card debt. Like, I just met Chris. We were long distance, and I was like, who is this guy? Let me get out of here. Like, this isn't going to work. It was just all a mess.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I'm sure that her life is a mess in some ways. But what's coming up on the surface is that she's in her blank space era, mm-hmm. where it's sort of like, oh.
She's like, you want to fuck with me?
I'm going to throw it right back.
Yep.
She's flipping off the mother in the restaurant who dares suspect her of anything.
That's a woman that we've got to embody. We've got to step into our power in this way.
I know. And this comes from sort of years and years of being depicted as a crazed man eater. And now she sort of made fun of it. She's in on the joke. She's like, oh, yeah, you think you're going to accuse me of dating everyone? Actually, I'm dating myself and my friends.
Yeah.
LOL.
I'm going to shake it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's Selena Gomez. It's Jamie King, who randomly is in the lives of everyone in the world.
Lana Del Rey.
Huge Lana Del Rey profile. The Haim sisters. Everyone is around, and she's devoting this time to female friendship. Mm-hmm. She says, I was really irritated by the whole serial dater play that people tried to make about me. I just decided I wasn't willing to provide them that kind of entertainment anymore. I wasn't going to go out on dates and have them be allowed to take pictures and say whatever they want about our body language. I wasn't going to sit next to somebody and flirt because I know the next day he'll be rumored to be my boyfriend. I took the narrative back.
It's unfortunate that now I have this feeling like if I were to open myself up to love, that would be a career weakness.
Yeah.
I mean, is this not Sabrina Carpenter, please, please, please?
I know. Which I'm obsessed with.
I'm obsessed with.
She's changed in my mind overnight. I'm not joking.
About her?
A week ago, I was like, I don't get it.
Oh my God, I've got it since the beginning.
And now I'm like, I'm completely obsessed.
Chris goes to me, you know who I like? That Sabrina Carpenter girl. I like her
a lot.
He knows her BBC nonsense outro off by heart.
Oh my God.
Unbelievable. He's like, BBC, I wish I had it in me.
Oh my God.
There's a double meaning if you look deep. He knew it. I was like, how did you remember that?
I love Please, Please, Please.
I love Please, Please, Please. But also, no one has blatantly called out their kind of like A-list partner.
Yeah.
And be like, do not fuck me over.
Yeah.
Because I am a rising star and no one's going to take me down.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
It's perfect.
Perfect, straight to the point. I don't think like I knew you were trouble or out of the woods or blank space or anything has the same kind of like honesty as that song.
I agree.
Like you're an actor, so acts like a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
And then to put the actor boyfriend in the video.
Looking amazing. Looking the best he's ever
looked. Looking the best he's ever looked. It's the first time I've ever found him hot.
I agree completely. The red carpets, I hate when they put the earrings and the sashes on him.
No,
I'm tired of it. Take the sash off. What? Take it off.
Why is he wearing a visible thong?
I don't know. Someone is like, it's way too much.
It's cool.
And the like K+8 hair in the back, the spiked up in the back. Like
He's always like giving Magic Mike in like some way. Like he doesn't need to be wearing a vest, shirtless.
Sometimes it's about what we don't see that's hot. And
leave something to the imagination.
I know.
It's like because he's like 5'7", they want to make him bigger or louder with his outfits.
Yeah.
And it's like,
someone's always like, cherry red.
Yeah.
Cherry red.
And I'm all for having fun.
Yeah.
You can't say I don't like fun.
I'm sitting next to your fur.
My fur collection.
Yeah. No.
But that man is being fucked over.
I know. And the video, it's like, all he needs is a little white tank
top. It's a wife beater and a goddamn short sleeved unbuttoned shirt.
All good.
This is what we've been missing all along.
I know. I know. They've been hiding him from us.
Oh, God, it's good.
Yeah.
I also, as you know, I love to see a woman in fucking makeup.
Yeah.
When are we, bring makeup back. That girl is beat to the damn
gods. Yeah, she is. It's like, it's because, you know what it is that's so refreshing? You know how they always say, they're like, pick one. Like,
a big hair, or a big eye, a big lip.
No.
All three.
It's blush, it's eye, it's lip, it's hair. It's
a huge hair.
I know. It's fabulous.
Just after years of like the Kendall clean hair girl. Down, clean girl, like
I know.
Look as if you're wearing like a swipe of concealer, but that's an absolute maximum. Otherwise you're overdoing it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just it's great to see.
Yeah, it is.
A colored eye?
Yeah.
I didn't know how much I've been missing it until now.
I know. And every day. It's not like a colored eye for Halloween.
No.
A colored eye for New Year's Eve.
What I miss so deeply and yearned for about Lana Del Rey was how she used to turn a damn look.
Yeah.
And here we are.
I know.
The girls have caught on.
The ones who are doing it big are having quite a moment, and I think it's well-deserved in every way.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I love it. Okay, back to these girls.
Okay.
Back to these two girls.
Tell me.
Hi. Is this thing on?
Oh, my God. Back to these two girls right here. Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Breaking the fourth wall a little bit here, but this was the point in time when we realized our mics were absolutely not working. So we are doing a little part one, part two moment.
Yeah. And honestly, there was so much to say.
I know. And
we could, I mean, we could wax poetic about friendship for 4 hours even.
Yes. And we did not even get like a quarter way through the profile at this point. So it is necessary that we reconvene at a later date.
Yeah, and we are leaving you on a bit of a cliffhanger here, but it should just get you all the more excited to come back next week.
It's going to be part two of Kaylor.
Strap in.
What is that reminding me of? Oh, got to keep an eye out for Selena.
Selena.
Yeah, that's what, yeah. You see me. All right, part two next week. We love you so much. Can't wait to give it to you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All night long. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Uncover Girl is lovingly crafted by Beatrice Hazelhurst and Ivana Ryder. If you want to get even deeper under the covers with us, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl or follow us on Instagram at uncovergirlpodcast. Rate Uncover Girl, write us a review, and share your favorite episode, Shawn Mendes, Rolling Stone 2018, anyone? And we will be your forever fans. Love you.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.